Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Some of you may know that I grew up in a family business run by my dad, a grocery store, but it had a butcher shop. It was known far and wide on the southwest side, and I know that quality means something, and that's why we drive 2 hours from northwest Indiana all the way to the northwest side of the city of Chicago to Joseph's Finest Meats at 7101 West Addison Street. Before you go there, you got to be prepared, so I've got a list for you. Do you have a pen? Italian sausage, hot. Italian sausage, mild. Get pork chops, but order them thick. And of course, get some beef too, like bone-in ribeye steaks. Nothing like it. And if you don't know exactly what to get or how to cook it, ask Ben or Sal and tell them John Cass sent. And I'd like to tip my hat to Joseph, the patriarch, the owner, the founder who built this store for his family with his two sons, Ben and Sal. In his mid-90s, he had serious heart surgery and he made a triumphant return. He loves his place, and I do too. And so does anyone who shops there. It's like family. They care about the details. They care about you. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. A family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. As part of my rehabilitation from these strokes, I sat down this week to begin writing a column on Mother's Day. And in the middle of writing this thing, I get a call from Pete, my brother, and he said, Mom had a stroke, and it was bad. She was at the Greek American Nursing Home in Wheeling. She was wonderfully treated there by the nurses and the staff, but she had a stroke. And so she had adamantly pursued the course of do not resuscitate, do not jab me with medicine, do not jab me with needles. And she had an order done by lawyers. She did not want this to happen. What she wanted was to pass in dignity with her family around her and having no pain. And that's what happened. We were all there, my brother Nicholas, whom you know, and Peter, who I think you know, and Betty, my wife, and Georgia, Peter's wife, and our sons, Sparrow and Peter, and Leah and Connie, Peter's daughters, and baby Georgia, which is my mom's great-grandchild. And we were around her all the next few days. And then she passed. When you lose your parents, you're lost. You're in the middle of, like, you're unmoored. Having a child moors you to the world or the universe. And losing your parents is like the tether is cut and you're drifting. I'm sorry. And then we went to the funeral director and did our business to get her ready for her funeral. And I posted the column, The Mother's Day Will Never Forget, about how it was like growing up with her. And then in the middle of that, I had to switch and comment on her passing. And that's how it is. And, you know, I just wanted to say one thing about this. What my mother would have wanted, I know it to be true, she would have wanted everyone to be with their loved ones, their children, their mothers, their fathers, to honor them, as the commandment says, to respect them and to be with them and spend time with them. That's all she wanted. And so from me and Jeff at the Chicago Way podcast and for everyone, and make the effort, please, make the effort to spend time with those you love.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Well, John, I obviously have to offer my condolences about your mom. She was an amazing woman.
Yeah, Jeff, thank you, my friend. We both lost our mothers now. And you know the feeling that you get when you're going through this process is you feel sorry for those who haven't gone through it. You know, some people, I guess, don't feel this way, but I do. When I lost my father, same thing. People would come up to me and I would think in my heart, you know, and silently regarding them, I would think, poor guy, you don't even know what it's going to be like, but you're going to go through it. And we all go through
it. Yeah, we do.
And
we
so
do.
Thank you, my friend. And may I also thank everyone out there who has who's offering me their good and kindest wishes. We had to take down the comments section on the JohnCast News because of left-wing trolls that got on there and started mocking other readers and slandering them and fighting with them.
That's
it was terrible. That's how they roll. You know, if they can't silence you, they'll kill you. And if they can't shut you up and shut you down at a college campus or on a message board. And it was too bad because Tom Bevan picked up that column that I wrote, ran it on the
Real Clear Politics. Yeah, I read a front page this morning for Mother's Day. Yeah. It was powerful. I mean, John, my wife and I got to know your mom, you know, a couple times over the years at events and stuff, and she was so warm and so fun and witty, and she had such an edge to her that was, you know, you knew she'd been through some stuff, and so nothing was going to faze her.
Did you get the sense that she's some old Greek lady widow from a yogurt commercial from the Village?
she was tough. I was fine. We had so much fun with her, and so I'm glad we were able to spend some time in sharing that. And you know, I know I feel for you and the boys and your brothers and I, you know, friends of mine, the Dunns, lost their mother this week too suddenly. And
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and Jeff Carlin lost his mother. 3 years ago now?
Five and a half years ago. Five. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know, right? Yeah. And as I told them and I offer to you, it's the moment. There are so many moments when you lose someone like that and anybody but lost, but especially a mother or a parent, you know, everything will remind you of them and it'll hurt and it'll bring sorrow and it'll be painful. But you know, piece by piece, little by little, you get reminded of them and it'll bring you joy. You know, it'll start to outweigh the anger and the sorrow, and you get there, you know, eventually, and friends and family help. But it's certainly a tough road because it's a hard loss. That's for sure.
If I anytime see a jam jar on the kitchen table with a spoon in it, I'll remember her flaring her nostrils and saying barbarian.
I love it.
Ever the subject of the queen. She loved Queen Elizabeth and good manners.
So those moments will hopefully eventually will be the norm. You know, bring you joy. And that's tough, John.
Thank you. But you know one thing she'd say, Jeff? She'd say, that's fine. Okay, Zoe Semas, you know, life to us all. May the memory be eternal. Now get back to work.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page 2, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com.
There's a new sheriff in town.
This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have.
But as he settles in, can you deal with the hysteria, the meltdowns, the constant whining?
I don't know what to do.
You know what you need? You need a good cup of common sense.
It's just common sense.
Like the kind of common sense you get when you subscribe to johncassnews.com. I'm John Cass, 40 years a journalist in Chicago.
The Chicago way.
I opened this website, John Cass News, so that you could have a decent cup of common sense.
This great country of ours was built on its entrepreneurial spirit.
It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Subscribe today to get access to great columns from John Cass, Dan Proft, and others. Don't be a chum alone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
So, sure. What is out there? I've heard.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Something about Obama of the ugly Morlock Tower in Chicago, and he's lecturing the country on how we shouldn't use the FBI or the Justice Department or the Attorney General, and I'm sure he meant CIA too, to harass your political opponents. Did he really say that? I think CBS had a piece on it.
Yeah, you brought this to my attention that President Obama was sat down for an interview with Colbert this week because, as you aptly called it, the Morlock Tower, I believe, opens this week. For those who are not in the know, that's the presidential, not the presidential library for legal reasons, the presidential center Obama has opening in Hyde Park. Sontra. The Temple of Hopium. Oh, it is so ugly. It is. I'll see if I can find a picture of this to accompany a podcast on the station website, and maybe for John, if we can find one.
Use it for John Cass News. Yeah.
It is hideous. Yes. So Trump, Obama was on with Colbert this week, and CBS picked up some of the subtleties of the conversation, I guess, which is weird because it's not subtle at all, and it's ironic. And let me just play this clip. This came from CBS Mornings, who was running Colbert and making news out of it, sort of.
It's this struggle between the idea that we, the people, includes everybody.
During a taped interview on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Colbert asked former President Barack Obama about the expanding powers of the executive branch and what powers he believes whoever is the president should not have.
The White House shouldn't be able to direct the Attorney General to go around prosecuting whoever the president wants to prosecute.
Right, because technically it's under the executive branch. Technically, but the norm is that it's independent.
The idea is that the Attorney General is the people's lawyer. It's not the president's consigliere. You can't have a situation in which whoever's in charge of the government starts using that to go after their political enemies.
Well, you know, Jeff, the thing that really gets me is Colbert, the way he acts, like his, you could see his lips, you can't really see them, planted firmly on Obama's backside, but his thought process, everything about him, he's like a Chicago political writer host John Cass, like in the world of the Chicago Tribune and sometimes accepting for Franz Spielman. And you think of them kissing his behind, like, oh my God, weren't you the one, Mr. Obama, I hate to mention this, but I do really love to mention it. Weren't you the one who used the FBI, the CIA, James Clapper, spying on senators and also leveraging and spying on the American people to harass and pursue and prosecute Donald Trump, who is your political opponent? And he made the mistake of, or God thank him for doing so, he defeated Hillary Clinton and upset your little apple cart. And so you unleash the power of the feds, and then you turn around and to Stephen Colbert and all the zombies watching CBS, you said, oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. We shouldn't do that. Did he not say that? Did I just not hear him? What a phony. What a phony.
It's so bad. You give him more credit during the Trump piece. I think that was more the Clintons putting pressure on him, you know, because I think they were running the show. And that at that point, I mean, I think now it's clear he is the top dog. But I think he is absolutely doing this with his tongue in his cheek. He has to be, because it's so, I mean, this is exactly what they did. This is exactly what they used the machines and the FBI and, you know, the CISA and all this other crap to get through to him and try to tank his presidency. His
Russia run, collusion? There is what? Trump was a tool of Putin, wasn't he?
Right, exactly. Yeah. You said at the beginning, you know, you love to bring this up. And I do,
because you know why I do?
Because I know, wait, no, John, I know why you do. Let me answer that question. Because you do, because the left has not acknowledged it. That's the reason. They will not come. They just do this. They gloss over it and pretend like it didn't happen and it wasn't a big deal.
They can't acknowledge it. If they acknowledged it, they'd have to admit that they're houses of cards.
Right. Exactly.
But I remind you all, because we started this by calling the Obama Sontra ugly. Blunt building, phallic and brutal. We called that the Morlock Tower. You know why? Because in the movie, The Time Machine, in the novel, The Time Machine, the lovely Yvette Mimieux was the Eloy, the Sun People. They were mindless idiots, really, unfortunately. They're double-digit IQs. And Rod Taylor, the time traveler, is trying to tell her that she has to run. The Morlocks are a threat to you. And she's just looking at her and him like, what? What? And it's the same thing. I feel like the time traveler when I've been writing about Obama all these years. And Democrats in Chicago, they look and they're like, what?
Right.
What?
I'm amazed. Because this, I mean, that's the whole reason he's out now about doing this. That's how we got to that. But it's so annoying to see just people lapping it up. And like I was going to say, you bring this up a lot. This is, and I'm usually, I quietly roll my eyes because it's podcast. Yeah,
right.
But it's, I
can hear those eyes rolling.
But this one is so, like, it's just so front and center. It's so egregious. It's so just, and you're right. I mean, they can't, they won't. And every time it happens, you know, all the comments are, oh my God, I love this guy. Oh, I wish
it. Like, is it trolling? Is it trolling me as a conservative, as a proud and supporter of Donald Trump, that Colbert just lets this guy roll without challenging him because he doesn't care and he wants people to buy into this horseshit, right? Doesn't he want that? Beep, beep, beep.
Well, yeah, I mean, they think that he is, you know, really good. everything he does is great. So yeah, for sure, there's no pushback. Colbert was asking the question about using it for your own will, it was either he was asking Obama because he knew that the question he was going to have to lie about his answer. He was going to gotcha moment, but that never happened.
Right.
So then it falls under the category of they're both in on it. Because if you watch it, and I recommend, you know, feel free to go out and find it. CBS Mornings had the clip. It looks like they're both smirking at each other when they're talking about it. And I get that most people are going to read that as, oh, yeah, you know, because they don't actually say Trump in the interview. It isn't saying by name, and so they're both kind of smirking at each other, but it's that's the read you would put out there for everybody to devour. But the reality is, you know, it's smirking because he knows it.
Here's another reality. The reality is that the wheels of justice that grind everything to a pulp are coming closer to John CIA boss Brennan, all right, and they're coming closer in the grind slowly. Like 1 foot a day, 1 foot a day, and they're coming closer. And he's got to know it, and Obama's got to know it. Of course he does. Comey knows it. It's coming to him. And the Democratic Party knows it. And, you know, that's what happens with the deep state.
Yeah.
In the words of the Republican governor of Illinois, they're in deep yogurt.
Yeah. I don't think it'll come. I mean, the Comey stuff is percolating, but I don't think I think there's just too many people who see it as fake news that they did anything wrong, and I don't think we'll ever get to a point where you'll be satisfied with
the
repercussions.
Unfortunately for them, the case is going on in Florida, not in New York, not in D.C., not in Illinois,
yeah,
Chicago, but in Florida. And there, I think there's a slight outside chance.
Here's the way I say it won't, only in the sense that, you know, they tried to pull the same thing on Trump, and by all accounts, they had more power at the time when they tried to pull it on Trump, and the multiple times they tried to pull it on Trump, you know, being the media, being the AGs of the world who were in their
New York Times.
Right. So that's my point. So if they had the wind at their back trying to do the same thing.
Yes.
You know, and even though it was just as, you know, it was much more fabricated. However, the evidence they built out looks really shiny and quality on its face. I don't know. I just don't think that you'll be ever satisfied with the outcome of it. But
I will be satisfied when Barack Obama is driven out of the country, denied fire, water, and shelter for 3 days until he leaves.
Celebrity lost, or what is this?
Celebrity exile. Exiled like El Cid. And you know what?
Oh, sure,
he's
sure
not going to come back like my hero El Cid. It's not going to happen. I think right now, I think even Chicago is, you know, the birthplace of the opium smokers. I think Chicago is starting to get wise to him, right? They see what's happened to their city. They see the Mayor Bufos in City Hall unable to handle anything except, you know, using race to slander people. And I think it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's just not here yet.
We'll see.
Can you sing, what's that song?
What's that?
From a ketchup commercial, Carly Simon. Anticipation. It's making me.
There you go. Well, I have people in Chicago who aren't happy is a group that is going, and this is a segue, John.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
The Chicago alderman who is upset. That's why I don't about this. Alderman William Hall. I mean, he's not upset about Obama, but he's upset that Walgreens is closing a store. And look, Walgreens, for those who aren't in the know, Walgreens has been closing a bunch of stores across the country. And one key in a lot of them is that they're in places where violence is common and shoplifting is, according to them, common. And
it's not only common, it's like expected, apparently.
Sure.
People expect it.
Right, sure. This is what Walgreens is saying, too. And they're saying it's a safety thing, but they're shutting your stores. They're not profitable. They're in dangerous areas. The alderman in the infinite wisdom, Alderman Hill, or Hall, rather, William Hall, who's the sixth ward in the Chatham neighborhood, which feel free to Google Chatham on your own, kids. But it's not necessarily known to be a safe neighborhood.
The Sawyer's ward.
Exactly. He says this about it, saying that he says that Walgreens should be held criminally liable. I think he's trying to say that, but he's making some sort of law term that I don't think he understands. But remember, this is why we have to vote in elections. But here, listen to this. This is Alderman. He's at a press rally trying to force Walgreens to open or keep it open. But I guess that's not really what he's saying.
We're not here to beg Walgreens to stay. We are saying that their decision is the wrong decision. And in my opinion, it should be considered a first degree corporate crime.
Whatever that is.
Because the amount of people that will be hurt by this, the amount of elders that will not have access to health care is evil.
Yeah, and he repeats himself. So that's the thing. It's first degree criminal, whatever. I mean,
wait a second. It's a crime. It's a corporate crime that they're trying to protect their shareholders and their profits.
He doesn't know what he's saying. It's ridiculous. I mean, he's a fool. Right. I mean, if he should be spending his time going to any one of the...
Say the magic words, Jeff. It starts with an A, it starts with an N, and it ends with an H. Nah.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
corporate crime.
You know, he needs to be spending his time. He really is trying to be a community organizer instead of trying to make up crimes against companies that he has no power over, he needs to reach out to one of the many nonprofits that are the arm of the left. And why don't they build a community pharmacy that's run by donations, or, you know, do their own thing? I mean, because if it's, about, it's not
how,
this company,
how about
right?
This one, gathering the people, organizing the people of the Sixth Ward to vote out Tony Preckwinkle, boss of the crooked, boss of the permissive judges in Cook County. She's the one allowing these judges to let people out, psychos and violent predators out of jail. She's the one allowing it. And Pritzker's allowing it. But like the King Morlock himself, Barack Obama, if you bring it up, then the Eloy, the Tranquil Sun people, will look at you and go, what? Why? What? And as Walgreens leaves, as all the businesses leave Chicago, as they leave Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to tell you, I grew up in the store business. And one thing we had that was fun on those days when we were stuck in Greek daycare. You know Greek daycares?
The back of the shop.
Greek daycare is when your dad, I've seen Indian daycare too, and Mexican daycare, same thing. You go to the store, you go to the shop with your dad and his brother, your uncle, and when they'd catch a shoplifter, when Marianne Clay, our beloved deli lady, when she had the sharp eye, she was a cop's wife, and she had a sharp eye. And when she would see a shoplifter in one of the aisles, because she'd walk up and down the, not chasing them, but up and down the meat counter and keep her eyes open. And she would say, Spiro or George. And when you hear that, when you're a kid, you're like a hunting dog. Boom. You're trembly, you're all birdie, and you're crazy, and you're running down the aisles looking for him. Yeah, yeah, I loved it. One time, we had the chili powder thief.
Oh, I haven't heard this story.
The chili powder thief, we had chili powder that was always disappearing from the packages of, you know, like you'd in the package was chili powder,
and
it would always be gone. And so we puzzled over this. Hundreds of man hours were spent. I was a kid, you know, like fifth grade. No, I was like teenager. I was a teenager. And we caught, and all of a sudden, Marianne's like, Spiro. And I run over there, and she's like, the chili powder. Guys with chili powder. It turned out the chili powder guy was a deacon at St. Tribius.
Oh, no.
Yeah. St. Tribius. And so we called the police. We brought him to talk to my dad. He had to stand up in front of the customers, look up at my dad. And he's like, you stole the chili powder. Like, you stole the chili powder? What's wrong with you there? What's wrong with you? You would just say, you
have to bleep that, John?
I think you have to bleep it because people know what it is. He'd use the M word, M word. And he grabbed me, and the guy was playing a smartass to him. My dad's like, okay, call the police. And I said, Dad, I did. And the chili powder thief was like, oh, scoffing. And,
of course.
And so then my dad said, no, I really mean call the police. Really call him. And so I grabbed the phone and I dialed the 8th district and I said, hey, we have a shoplifter, Gage Park Finer Foods. We have a thief. We caught him. And the two big cops showed up, two big coppers. And they showed up. They said, you have a thief? And my dad's like, yeah, he stole from us. And then the two cops, without another word, just nodded and grabbed my shoulder and lifted me up off the ground. My feet are wriggling like I'm in the air, like a little toddler. I'm like, no, it's not me, it's them. And there was, he was in a Glenn plaid suit, well-dressed, chili powder.
That's wild.
So they took him down to the station. I had to go to 8th District then was resting home for cops who had been, you know, in those days, had been through the mills and just it was time to, you know, work out the last few years before your pension. It was gentle and really no crime. It was all Lithuanian and Irish and Latino and Polish neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so we got to the police station and they bring the guy up in front to the sergeant and the sergeant's like, what's going on? And they had to mock the whole process. So they said, we've got the big chili powder thief, Sarge. And the guy was turning red. And the sergeant's like, what are you going to do? And he doesn't know. He's like, the guy's turning red. He's stammering, sweating through the beautiful cut Glenn plaid suit. And the sergeant rolls up a funnel, a piece of paper into a funnel. And he says, you take this, you fill this up with chili powder, you bend them over, and you'll go whew, like blowing the chili in the chili powder in the through the funnel. That's instant justice, as far as I'm concerned. And all the cops were clapping, and it was so good. You know, I didn't smoke, or I guess I did smoke then.
I think you just said you were 8. I thought.
No, I was a teenager. But they grabbed me, and there was, you know, one thing I didn't want to be mistaken identity because they thought chili powder.
Sure, yeah.
They thought, oh, this hooligan with a leather jacket. And it was just so beautiful. So lovely.
Instant justice. That's fantastic. Well, John, I think we should start it with family. We'll end it with family. That's a great story. The chili powder thief. Maybe we make that into a series.
There's nothing like catching a shoplifter, but you know, when you have George Soros prosecutors and newspapers like the George Soros Post, Chicago Tribune, and other places that protect George Soros in the media, you're not going to have prosecution of thievery. All you're going to have is more of the same. And the people on the Chicago way are trying to get out of town. They're trying to get out of Illinois, and they can't.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
So I want to also thank you again, everyone, for all your kind words. I've been looking while we're doing the podcast here. I've looked on Facebook. I wish I could, you know, have a message board as I did on johncastnews.com, but I can't because of the leftist trolls that are attacking people left and right. But I just want to say thank you to everyone. It was the Mother's Day, we'll never forget. And then we have funeral services this week, and then we move on with our lives. And that's what she would have wanted. I'm sure Jeff Carlin understands his mom was like this too.
Yeah.
So for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my friend and friends of countless cats and baker of pies that I never eat, and for me, John Cass, editor of John Cass News, where for less than $1 a week, you get a full cup of common sense. Thanks for joining me and us on the Chicago Way podcast. And we'll talk to you next time on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.